Hi, I'm Tom.
And I'm Alex.
And this episode of Flash in the Pan, we're going to spin you a bard's tale. We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan. Hi, I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Alex.
And this is Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to another episode of Flash in the Pan, the podcast that... Oh, look, there's an old man over there sitting on the bench feeding the pigeons. But he catches your eye as you come close, and you can see there's a little twinkle in his gaze. And if you look closer, just over the bridge of his glasses, you can see reflected in those old, worn eyes a single word. Macromedia.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you could see, like, the Flash symbol.
Oh, that would be so... That would be so much better.
That's where I thought you were going.
Anyway, yeah. So we talk about Flash animations that we grew up with, that other people grew up with.
Sometimes.
And that, that people have sent to us.
Yes.
And this episode, we've got three, actually, that were sent in by you folks at home.
Well done.
Yeah.
You're fueling us.
I know. Thank you for the hashtag content, TM.
Yes, thank
we
you.
We genuinely appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes. What you want to do is tell people that they can find all the links to all the animations they're about to watch at flashinthepancast.com.
Flashinthepancast.com. You're
yes.
right. That's where we put all the episodes... And all the links to stuff you can watch, including YouTube links, in case you're on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we should get into it.
I think we should.
So we're going to start off with, why don't you introduce the next one?
The first one.
The first one yeah.
is something that was sent into us, which immediately caught both our eyes. It's called Gun Devil.
Gun Devil. Here we go. That was Gun Devil.
That was Gun Devil.
And we had guns
and
quite a few devils.
Yeah.
Or ghosts or
it
demons.
It was like a weird demon robot thing.
Yeah. So I had no idea what to expect going into this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a surprisingly aesthetically accurate late 2000s anime thing.
Yeah, it's really well animated as well.
Yeah. Like, it looks... It looks like it could have been from, like, a mid-tier summer anime of 2007.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Like, I was constantly being like, oh, okay, yeah.
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 It's incredibly bleach.
Mm-hmm.
It's got bits of, like, Inuyasha in the character design.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
The main character is your standard Shinji Ikari.
Yeah.
Every teen.
Yeah.
Down to the white collared shirt and scruffy black hair.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, standard anime tropes. The only thing that's, like, missing is, like, at the beginning when the guy's, like, running, he doesn't have a piece of toast in his mouth.
Yeah, and it doesn't say New Grounds, grand sponsor. that was fun. That
yeah,
was really
it's
fun.
A lot of fun. I haven't seen it before today either, and it's really, really cool.
Yeah, the first words I wrote down were anime ghost gun.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
But it's very bleach though.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the teen demon hunter trope thing.
Yeah.
Which you also see in stuff like Soul Eater
mm-hmm.
and sort of Naruto.
There's
at least one arc where they do something like that.
Yeah. Speaking of Naruto, they do the Naruto run.
They do the Naruto
yes.
run. Yes. I noticed that. Yeah. I like that. I really. It's interesting seeing someone recreate. Very faithfully, this mainstream anime style, while also using all of the possible corner cutting that Flash allows for.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a real economy of production.
It's very well executed. Like you said, it's like a really good use of the software, whilst also basically very accurately reproducing something that you... would expect to see in something that was produced by, like, a team of 15 people.
Yeah.
Or more.
Yeah, definitely. Apart from a couple of janky bits, like, the seams very rarely show.
Yeah, there's a bit at the beginning where it's, like, the you have like the fade, the focus pull on the can.
Yes.
And you can kind of see that like the two things are like separate objects.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that caught me. But other than that, I didn't really spot anything out of place.
For me, it was his hand moving up in a perfect arc, which only really happens when you're rigging stuff in Flash.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was great.
Yeah.
I liked that the can came back and ended up being full of bullets for this magical demon hunting gun.
Yeah.
Outlaw Star, that's another thing that reminded me of.
Uh-huh.
Outlaw Star, because the main character of Outlaw Star has a magic gun that shoots magic bullets. No, really.
I know, I believe you.
Yeah.
I still need to watch Outlaw Star.
Outlaw Star is exceptionally 1999.
Great, and I must watch it.
Another thing that came to mind watching this was something that we discussed way back in episode 6, I think, which is where we had our guest, friend of the show, Drackle, on.
Yes.
We were talking about the Bitey of Brackenwood series.
Yes.
If you haven't heard that episode, go listen to it, because it's very good.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came up was the idea that animators, they fucking love drawing smoke and explosions.
Oh yeah, this person loves
this person loves explosions and smoke.
Because they do look cool.
They do look
very
cool.
They are very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, and it's like that really thick, opaque anime smoke that just kind of like whirls and twists and ripples.
Again, it's very impressive to be accomplished in a program like Flash.
Yeah. So we mentioned the protagonist. Mm. Should we mention his white-haired anime girl sidekick?
Yeah, who looks a lot like Inuyasha.
She does look a bit like Inuyasha, yeah.
Yeah.
Or a character from Dot Hack.
So somewhere between Inuyasha and a character from Dot Hack.
Inu Dot Hacker.
Okay.
That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
No, cut that.
Nope, that's no good.
Yes, his sidekick girl.
Yes.
Or I guess he becomes her sidekick? It's unclear.
She's in some sort of peril when he arrives, and then by the end of it, it's like, oh, it didn't really seem like she was really in that much bother.
No.
She kind of seems to deal with it mostly herself.
If there was dialogue, then absolutely there would have been a scene at the end where she was like, you didn't have to get involved, bucker.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right, that would have happened. You're very correct.
I'm glad that this was fairly chaste for an anime tribute as well.
Yes, that was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was very nice.
Because, stuff like Soul Eater, definitely Soul Eater, Bleach a bit.
Yeah, Soul Eater was a big... Yeah.
Soul Eater loves boobs.
Okay.
Yeah, I also liked the slightly janky English in the intro and outro.
I don't understand what happened.
And then right at the end, thank you, I guess.
Finn.
But I think thank you, I guess, captures something that's rarely seen in this sort of supernatural fight scene. Where it's like, oh, okay, that happened. Great.
Yeah.
What do I do now? Does Shuichi Everyman Kun like go back to his regular high school life knowing that he helped shoot a demon in the face?
I really want to see like a parody anime which stars a character called Shuichi Everyman Kun.
I mean, we just did.
Yes, you're right. Not officially, but now.
So another thing that we usually mention when we talk about these action flashes is the choreography.
The choreography is very good.
And the choreography in this is really good. It's sort of mixing and matching the sort of gunplay stuff.
Yeah.
Most of the things I'm going to reference for this are going to be other animes, but like you see in, like, I don't know, Gunslinger Girl or Grenadier or something.
Maybe like Trigun a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Trigun I've never actually seen.
Trigun's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just listing anime at the moment, but...
Well, that's what... that basically, more or less, that's what this is. Is like a list of anime tropes that's been squeezed into like 3 minutes.
Yeah, into something that is fairly its own thing.
Yeah, fairly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the back-to-back camera pan where they're shooting together.
You've got to have that.
That's always really
pleasing.
You've
got to have that.
Yeah, I like just the design of the gun itself. It's simple, but it works.
Yeah.
And you can tell that it's cribbing some ideas from other places, but you know what? Yeah, it's fine. It's an anime ghost gun.
It also kind of gives the suggestion of it either being like some kind of like alternate reality to ours, or maybe some kind of like future.
Yeah. Because of the static, the digital static.
Yeah, the static, and like the guy who's like a robot or something.
Yeah.
Was he a robot? Was it... I don't know. Yeah, I think so.
He was some kind of arcade machine.
He was, if you will, some kind of robot.
He was some kind of robot. Yeah. Shout out to the previous episode. Flash fans. Yeah, I don't know what's left to say about
this.
Although I do like the music track that was used. It was
great. What was it from?
It was from Blood Plus, according to the comments.
Yes.
And one thing before we get into the other details, I do want to point out the author comments.
Oh yes. First, to people who hate anime or something like that, please do not give preview vote or watch this movie.
The person said, I'll try my best to make this when I realise one of character here, it looks like Joe from Burst Angel. Sorry to anime fan, because this is pure coincidence.
Oh, and, you shouldn't laugh because it's not their first language and they're trying very hard.
Yeah, and honestly, like, they are trying very hard. Like, even the intro screen after the preloader is like, yeah, this is good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got a neat little logo thing that looks, again, like, it all looks very contemporary.
Yeah, it looks very official.
Yeah, for something made in 2007, this looked like an anime from 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't fault them for that.
I think that is the highest praise that we can probably give that.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
And speaking of high praise, do you want to do the comments?
Let's do some comments.
Yeah, let's do some comments. I think that's out of order from our usual thing, but shrug.
Whatever.
Anime shrug. Okay. So, do you want to start us off?
Yes. So our first comment is the most recent comment from Fairy Orxross from Orxross 13 from 2013.
Okay.
It says, holy gunner, that was awesome. Please make more.
Yeah, what you can't hear, listeners, is the fact that the word awesome is about 30 letters long and has just as
50 exclamation points.
Yeah, Fairy Orxross 13 was just like stabbing fingers into their keyboard.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. Dahugek.
Da huge K, I think.
Oh, Da huge K!
Which is very pleasing.
Okay. Dahugek in 2007, so just after this came out, said, cool, with a K.
Mm.
K, first, let's get one thing straight. I have no idea what happened, but it was so good, who cares? All my five to you.
I just love that comment. It was just like, I don't know what happened, but it was great. Here you go, five stars.
Yeah. Thank you, Dahugek.
Fenrir the Great Wolf. Ooh.
The one from Norway?
Maybe.
From the past, in Legend.
Big fan of Flash animation. From 2007. Good. Very good. The lines on their arms when they fire their weapons reminds me of a guy from some game. Think it was Nocturne. I don't even remember that game.
No.
The low sound score is because Japanese singing makes my ears bleed.
Wow.
I do not like anime, but I like this Flash enough to overcome my intense hate of it. To give you a fair score. 4 stars.
That's off. That's
pretty generous considering that anime, Japanese singing makes their ears bleed.
Wow. I mean, that...
They must have really liked it.
They must have really liked it, yeah, because this music track has a lot of singing.
It really does.
Yeah, and it does sound very, like, anime.
Mm-hmm.
It
sounds like anime.
Yeah, it looks like anime. And yeah, this person, who doesn't even like anime...
Gave it 4 stars.
Because they respected the craft enough.
You know what? That's a respectable stance to take.
Yeah, I think so. So shall we regale ourselves with some Flash?
Well, there's not very much Flash hour, unfortunately, for this one, because there's not a great deal that can be found.
Oh.
So Gundevil, it was made by Magic Man Director's Cut. Magic Man DX is from Indonesia.
Oh, okay.
They joined Newgrounds in 2005, and they first uploaded in the same year with the Frontier OP theme. Their latest upload is something called Alice in Wonderland 2nd in 2009.
Okay.
They got 11 total uploads, including Pokemon and Mega Man animations.
Nice.
They were a big fan of There She Is, with their most recent favourite animation being There She Is, The Final Step. And they haven't uploaded anything since Alice in Wonderland 2nd in 2009.
Okay.
And there's no further activity after that, and that is everything.
We don't know anything about Magic Man DX.
Nope.
Magic Man DX, if you're listening, please write in and tell us more about you, because you made some cool anime stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, that was short and sweet. Yeah. I wonder what adventures Magic Man DX had to leave Newgrounds to go on.
I hope it was a long and successful career in animation. Maybe they even got into, like, a real studio.
Hey,
that
maybe.
That could have been cool.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. Or maybe, like, they're, like, a big-name mob boss now, and they don't want their...
Okay.
And they don't want their, like, previous animation efforts to cut into their bold and frightening persona.
I like my story better.
That's fair. Now, listen to you. Not every Flash animator could be a mob boss, Tom.
I think very few Flash animators found themselves in crime syndication, to be honest. But, I mean, you know, there's always room for more crossover.
I wonder if Newground animators, if more of them found themselves in organized crime than in TV animation. Has anyone run the numbers on this?
Has anybody, somebody, if you've done a study, please. Anyway,
yeah,
shall we move on?
Yeah, let's move on to our next one, which is also exceptionally anime, but it's from an older time.
Ooh.
We're going all the way back to the year 2000 for The Bard's Song. And we're back, noble travellers.
Wow. You said brace yourself, but I was not ready.
What were you not ready for?
I wasn't ready for any of that.
Okay. You want to talk us through your processing right now?
I don't even know. It's very rudimentary.
Yes.
Let's say that. There's not a lot of movement.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many jagged edges.
Are you trying to say that this really doesn't hold up?
It looks like...
Come on, it's okay. Take a breath.
It looks like Esker Floney died.
Oh, and I was going to say, it looks like the cast of Slayers caught a horrible disease.
Also that.
Yeah, so, this is a music video for a Blind Guardian song.
Oh, is it Blind Guardian?
It is Blind Guardian. This is one of their beautiful acoustic folk ballads.
Mm.
Originally, this is about Bilbo Baggins.
Really?
Yes, but we'll get onto that later.
Okay.
So, but here it's displaced into anime fantasy world, where everything is yellowish.
Yeah.
And all of the people are made of trapezium. So you can tell right up front that this animator has taken pretty much all of their stylistic clues from 90s anime. Specifically the kind of, like, Slayers or Esker Floney or even Tenchi, where, like... all of the characters have the spikiest hair, and their faces are these anime muzzles.
Yes,
basically all of the things that people sort of mock, rightly or wrongly, about that kind of anime style is present here wholeheartedly.
Yes,
not that that's necessarily a bad thing. It just doesn't look very good.
No.
No.
I'm sorry to be so mean, but, like, obviously this person tried really hard.
Yes.
This is obviously, like, a really early project of theirs.
Yeah, and you can tell, like, this meant a lot to them making it.
Yes.
You know, because, like, this is deeply earnest.
Yes, it is.
And
I have to respect it for that.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I like that, Alex, as our resident musician lady, as you've been called on before.
Yes,
but,
I have.
How would you rate, not necessarily the song, because it's a lovely song, but the depiction of the bard himself?
Not at all how I would have imagined. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't imagine an anime person.
Okay.
I would imagine, like, a real person.
Well, that's where you and Charlie Zero differ.
Obviously. I also kind of not sure if what's being sung in the song matches up with what's happening. But that's the case for a lot of music videos, though.
That's true.
So,
Yeah. I was surprised when I first watched this, because I never watched it when it came out. But I suppose a lot of people did. Like, this was immensely popular. Mm, like, yeah. Hugely popular, because, as we'll get on to later, in 2000, there wasn't a lot like this out there.
No.
But, yeah, more than one person sent this in. And a couple of things that I noticed first, like, immediately, were outside of the generic sort of fantasy trappings. First of all, the lute that the bard is playing, the sort of, you know, long guitar, mm-hmm. doesn't seem to have any strings that he's playing at all.
Yeah.
which, I mean, it's interesting because usually, even because the animation in this is very minimal. Very, very minimal.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, mm-hmm. like, the creator was working with the tools he had at his disposal.
Yes.
But, like, even in the most basic of Flash music video things, if you show someone with an instrument, generally you show them at least, like, moving with it. Or, like, their hands moving a bit. Even if it, like, not even matching, you know, the chords on the neck of the guitar or anything, but...
Which always winds me up. Which is why I like the raccoons so much.
Oh, yes, of course. but yeah, no, he's just sitting there. So my pet theory is that this is a bard who has lost all of his strings, and so he can only hear the music in his heart.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. Either that or the animator just didn't want to, which is equally likely.
Even paint's got a line tool.
Speaking of line tool, almost everything in this that was not an anime face was done in a line tool.
Yeah.
The cracks on the soldier's armor, that was line tool.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the angles. You can see the angles. The pauldrons are made with the oval tool. It is very, very basic stuff.
Yes.
And yet, I can kind of see why it resonated for some people. Mm. Because this is... It's earnest. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good. We can't say that enough. It does not look good. But for a certain kind of person, this would have been like, yeah. I get it. You know,
yeah.
This is stirring something inside me.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I like that we do actually get a little action scene. Well, I mean an action slideshow.
Yeah.
Angry faces and swords and, like, blood splatter. Yeah. There's a blood splatter against, like, a setting sun or whatever it's meant to be.
That's maybe the best part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, okay, there's a little bit of artistry going on here. There's a vision. the ladies in it are possibly the least well-rendered. There are two.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is shown mostly just, like, kneeling and sad.
Yeah.
And the other one has gigantic rectangular hair. Not rectangular, she has, like, offset diamonds for giant
like triangle hair.
Yeah, which is where the Tenchi comparison comes up to me, because, like, she could be, I don't know, Ryoko's cousin or something. And the faces, the emotions on the faces when they're expressed are actually quite unpleasant to look at.
Yeah.
Like these odd wrinkles and lines that signify sadness, but also seem to signify some kind of wasting condition.
It was also very obviously hugely Final Fantasy VII inspired.
Oh yes,
massively. As a lot of stuff on Newgrounds around that era was.
Yeah, but yeah, the one when one of the women appeared, you did say, "Oh, is that Aeris?"
I said, "Is that you, Aeris?"
Yeah.
And also there was the big sword.
The big, big, big
the
sword.
The very big sword. And as you said, all the hair is massive.
The hair is all
just
massive.
Just like Cloud.
Just like Cloud, who is massive.
Yeah.
And so is his hair.
He's got massive hair.
Yeah. He
How
has a sword.
How does he keep it like that?
Gosh, I don't
What's
even know.
What's his secret? Does anyone know?
As we learned in the Cloud Song episode, because he's Cloud, his hair defies all gravity.
That's it. That's the trick.
Yeah, that's the trick.
Okay.
Just be Cloud.
Just be Cloud.
And then your hair can be that.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Also, there's kind of a bait and switch with the... not even a bait and switch, just something that feels like it's being built up in the actual plot, quote-unquote, of the video, where you get these two swordsmen facing off.
Yes.
And they're injured, and they're staring each other down, and then one of them notices, oh, there's a locket around this guy's neck. And then it just kind of pieces out.
Yeah. I was expecting that to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
I was expecting the camera to, like, zoom into the locket, and maybe, I don't know, like, the swordsman trained him when he was young or something.
So, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but no.
I think it was maybe just to reinforce, like, oh no, he's done a murder and has realised this man has a family.
It's possible.
Yeah, that makes him feel bad because murder's wrong.
Murder is wrong.
Murder is wrong.
Hey, this is a flash in the pan PSA. Don't kill people.
Don't do murder.
Don't do a murder.
That's bad.
You know what? Doing a murder, probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get political here, but but doing a murder, usually bad.
Yeah, usually. Yeah. Can get you into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and you don't want to get
it's
in trouble, do you?
It's generally not worth it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Anyway, shall we delve into some comments?
Oh, yes, please, let's.
Okay, so we've got a few comments for this. We've got two loving praise ones and two less loving mm-hmm. ones.
Yeah.
Let's start with Necro. That's Necro with two K's.
Mm.
Now this is a piece of capital A art.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most beautiful piece of work on Newgrounds that I have seen yet. Everything is original. Nothing is funny about this song because of most of the bullshit videos with music are stolen with shitty art and get high marks. Now the reason why I am saying this is a masterpiece is because he worked on it for a week. The man has definite talent. Beautiful artwork, beautiful music. Now this deserves the top spot of the portal, because it fucking shows originality. Fuck the history of fuck. Let everyone vote it off, so the Bard's song will take the top spot.
Wow.
The history of fuck is apparently a Flash animation that was very popular in mid-2000s.
Oh, well, he only worked on it for a week?
Apparently, yeah.
But a lot of people work a lot longer than a week on things.
Yes, that's true. Do you want to take the next one?
Okay, Ice Wolf, in 2000, a work of art and more. This video is by far one of the best on Newgrounds. Not only does it tell a wonderful story, but it's actually not based on blood and guts, although it was...
Shh, keep going.
It has an emotional quality that so many of Newgrounds' pieces lack. This is a masterpiece.
That's masterpiece in all caps. Yeah. So, like, yeah, a lot of people, this really resonated with them, because yeah. It was pretty unique among early 2000s stuff. Like, there was, like, as we've said before, there was a lot of just violent stick men.
Yeah.
Or like, jokey joke parody stuff,
yeah.
And this is earnest,
mm.
which can be a real breath of fresh air, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Not everyone liked it, though. The next couple were were zero stars, and you've read ahead a bit.
I have.
So, tell you what, you can take...
Okay, M. Erica Go in 2001 said, I must admit that movie made my balls tingle with glee, and I shed a tear at the end. No, I was kidding. I don't know why I sat through that bullshit.
Ah! Owned! America Go. You had us going there for
wow.
a second.
Yes.
Oh, we almost thought you enjoyed a thing, but turns out you didn't enjoy
you didn't,
a thing.
Actually. Classic.
I know. I mean, I hope you get that ball tingling looked at, though.
Yeah, I should see a doctor.
Oh, yeah, so that was zero stars. Mm-hmm. And finally, this is from 2004. And this is a longer one.
Mm-hmm.
Aldarion said, stolen song, song content not understood. You have not only stolen this great song from the band Blind Guardian, it appears that you also didn't understand its context. It's a song about Bilbo Baggins on his journeys in The Hobbit by J.R.R. Tolkien. About hobbits, elves, men and dwarves, as even the song says. And not about some street fight of violence without reason. Poor! Next time you use a gig from Blind Guardian, please do mention the band at least for the great work they have done on their song. And try to stick your movies to the song. And he signed it, Aldarion.
Don't sign your posts. Don't fucking sign your posts.
Don't sign your posts. But yeah, it's
What's this whole thing that people have got about stolen? Like, do you know how hard it is to make music? It's very difficult.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I understand Aldarian's concern that nowhere on the Newgrounds upload page for this is the actual song credited to Blind Guardian or anything.
That's fair enough, that the band should have been credited.
Oh, yeah, and there's one more, which I love, which is a zero-star comment by The Rock 96 from 2001, and it says, "I sucks. I don't know why people like crap there should not be any more crap there and noon crap. One Newgrounds.com, Newgrounds should get this crap off, and one more yam going. Oh, hurt the guy who made this." And you know what? As an incoherent expression of anger, this really speaks to me. It's, well, I really like how early internet bad grammar is like is almost thematically a great precursor to like Twitter cry typing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Oh, please get off that. The more I look at it, the funnier it becomes.
So I'm going to leave that on the screen.
Oh, God.
No, I'm not, because I think it's time for some Flash. So, this animation was made by a Newgrounds author called Charlie Zero. Charlie Zero mostly did a lot of anime stuff, mm-hmm. as you can imagine.
Yeah.
They worked most in the early 2000s, by which I mean the year 2000, and off and on again on other stuff.
Okay.
They, Bard Song was probably their most popular submission. They had another one called My Angel, which was taken down by the Newgrounds moderators.
Okay.
Which we might, I don't know, perhaps we'll explore in future.
Huh.
So he also has, or had rather, a different life outside of being Charlie Zero.
Okay.
Because Charlie Zero was the early Newgrounds pseudonym of Mookie. Mookie being the creator of the infamous webcomic Dominic Deegan Oracle for Hire.
Oh no. No.
I see a spark of recognition in your eyes, Alex.
Oh dear. Please go on.
Yeah, so Dominic Deegan was a fantasy comedy webcomic about an oracle, a seer, who was hired for various comedic hijinks and so on with your standard, it's your standard early 2000s jokey joke webcomic with some fantasy tropes that are being skewered. I'm sure at some point someone's called a spoony bard, that kind of thing. Dominic Deegan became infamous not just for its very consistently triangle face anime artwork, but also because over time the creator, Mookie himself, became sort of notorious for making very, very bad decisions in both storytelling and artwork.
Right, okay.
Not so much culminating as just snowballing over the course of the comic. I won't get into a lot of the details here because this is a cheerful comedy podcast. But yikes, just yikes, yikes-a-roni and cheese.
Wow.
And so there was a lot of controversy. Most of the information about him I found on the Bad Webcomic Wiki. It's interesting because it's one of those webcomics, and I'm sure that at least a few people listening to this are going, "Oh no," in the back of their heads right now, because it was huge. It was really, really big. It had a huge fan base. He would have guest spots at conventions and stuff. He was a contemporary of like your Tim Buckley's from Control Alt Delete. Your Scott Ramsumer from VG Cats.
Yeah.
He sort of coasted along with it, and eventually he ended the webcomic, and nowadays he is, for better or worse, he is working on a different webcomic with an actual artist who doesn't draw triangle faces.
That's nice.
The new one's called Star Power, and it's a science fiction epic.
Those look like real people.
Yeah, with actual art. actual artwork by an actual person. And, yeah, he's still getting on with it.
Well,
he's one of these creators with a lot of controversy behind them, and who's sort of managed to coast on that without really changing anything about themselves. Which is why I don't really feel that bad for dunking on Flash animation, because it's crap.
Now I take it back now. I take it all back now. All of it.
Yeah, you made a bad webcomic, yes. And so you will suffer the consequences.
I will make fun of you.
Yeah. And a note on the song. The song is by Blind Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic folk metal, power metal stuff from the early 90s. And Blind Guardian are pretty good if you like. They're also the intro theme to the Hydraulic Press channel on YouTube.
No,
is Blind
fuck
Guardian?
Off,
yeah,
really. Jesus, I didn't know that.
I think if I'm right, then yeah.
Nice. That fucking oats.
But yeah, the takeaway would be: don't read Dominic Deegan.
Don't read Dominic Deegan.
It's not even funny. Bad. It's just kind of crap.
Can we go back to the Newgrounds page just really quickly?
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that following the Bard song, it's Charlie Zero's apology.
Oh. You know what? Let's watch it.
Well, okay, that sucked.
It turns out the apology video was just a showcase of his artwork.
Was really hoping that it was going to be like, sorry, I didn't credit Blind Guardian, guys. I'll try that better next time.
No, it's an ironic, sorry, I don't draw blood and gore and boobs.
Except sometimes I do actually draw boobs, because I'm a horny man on the internet.
Yeah, so that was the Bard song.
Let's move on and away from this man, shall we?
Let's. Yeah. What have you got for us to finish
I've
off?
I've got something very special.
Okay.
It's called sent into us. It's called Field Guide to Snapping.
Fucking neat.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was groovy as hell.
Yeah. My favorite is the skateboarding turtles.
The skateboarding turtles are exceptionally good. Yes. Yeah, and this was from 2001.
It was.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this it's really tight.
Uh-huh. It's really well made.
Surprisingly professional. Yeah. It's minimalist, but it works. It makes me think of like a Mr. Scruff kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, it's a little bit Peanuts. A little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it is a bit Peanuts.
Yeah.
Mixed with, it makes me, and this is just because my brain is fairly cynical, it kept making me think that, a photorealistic image of a bottle of juice would show up. You know, like it was an advert for J2O or something?
Yeah, yeah, totally. That's definitely the kind of thing you'd see. Just before I was like, drink J2O, yeah.
Yeah, or like Red Bull or something. Yeah, yeah. It reminds me a bit of the Red Bull efforts.
Yes, you know what? You're absolutely right. Very reminiscent.
Yeah, because it's a simple. I really like that in the intro, how the girl, as she's walking, the background appears with her. That was really nice.
That's a really cool little detail.
That reminded me a bit of the children's books, which I read growing up, Harold and the Purple Crayon.
I never read that.
It's a book's about a small boy called Harold who has a purple crayon that can draw anything and make it real.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
This is really neat.
Yeah.
I like the aesthetic. I like the animals.
Yeah.
The song itself is neato.
Yeah. It really is.
It's smooth. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that you'd like listen while walking home at night.
Absolutely. Yeah.
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 No, I don't have anything negative to say about
this. No, really. I mean, and it's nice to see something like that, because it's in stark contrast with the two things that we've just seen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that it's not...
It's got its own sense of style.
Yeah, it's got its own sense of style. It's got its own sense of identity. Mm. And it doesn't suck. And
yeah, no, it really
not
doesn't.
That the first one we saw sucked, but the first one we saw was, like, action-packed and intense. Yeah. And, like, everything was high octane, and this is just really chill.
It's just nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, it almost makes me think that, like, on the other side of that field is where the first Madness short is happening.
If you want to believe that, then you know what? That's valid.
But yeah, no, this was really genuinely pleasing.
Yeah, it's just really nice.
Yeah.
It's really pleasant to look
at.
Really well animated.
I like how the record scratch was synced with the rabbit's ears rubbing together.
Yeah.
I like all the little touches like that. That made me think, yeah, you know what? Whoever made this, they get it.
And the breakdancing bear.
Oh, the frame-by-frame animated breakdancing bear.
So good.
Which was, I think, the thing
so
that
good.
Dated this most.
Probably, yeah.
But in a charming way.
Yes. Not in, a really bad way, in, a that rules kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I mean, compare and contrast that with breakdancing Mario from Perfect Kirby.
Yes. Yeah. They've both got their own charm, for different reasons.
Around the world! Yeah. Yeah, again, I don't have that much more to say about this, other than it's really fun.
It's really good.
It's nice. I would get this album, honestly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, I want more sort of, gentle indie-tronica kind of stuff.
You want more Slang?
Yes,
which
Slang.
Which is an excellent band name.
Slang is a very good
very
name for
good.
Any music project. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, so should we do the comments?
Sure, let's look at some comments.
Okay, yeah, so comments we have. We've got Jason Watt.
Yes.
In October 17th, 2001, so just after this came out, said, "Woohoo! This is my new favorite. I love this. I love everything about it. Whoever made this must be some kind of genius, because I loved that. Thank you, whoever made this. You just made my week a lot better. Man, I love that turtle. He's got some wicked tricks up his sleeves. Phew, that is awesome. Rock on."
Correct.
Yeah. I can't disagree with any of that. Jason Watt knows what's up.
He does.
Yeah.
Shrinkled.
Ooh,
a couple of days.
That's a really unpleasant
couple
word.
Couple days after Jason's comment in 2001. Okay, someone was on something when this idea came into existence, but it was pretty good. Definitely different, which is pretty good.
Ugh.
3 stars.
Okay, look. I know that I'm not the first person to say this, right? But just because an idea is slightly quirky doesn't mean the people that
drugs.
Made it were on something. It means that they had any creativity in...
at all.
What? Like, the idea of animals dancing goes back to fucking Aesop. This is not something you need to be hopped up on reefer ecstasy to come up with.
But it does help.
It... Obviously, it helps, yeah. Yeah, and these guys were definitely doobied out of their skulls. Am I right? But honestly. They were on crack when they made this, but probably not.
It's like, this is good. This is different, that's pretty good. And then only 3 stars.
I mean, some people... So, the Newgrounds rating system is interesting in that... because YouTube used to have the same system.
It did.
And a lot of things online used to have a rating from 0 to 5 stars, or 1 to 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
iTunes still does.
Yeah.
By the way, go and rate us 5 stars on iTunes, give us a good review, we really appreciate that.
It really helps us out.
It does. But the thing is that people always, if they like it, they'll put 5 stars, if they don't like it, they'll put one star. And it's only the very, very small minority of people who wants to give nuanced feedback who will use... stars 1 to 4.
I mean, nuance is very time-consuming.
Exactly.
Who's got time for that?
I know, especially on the internet.
I've got time for 1 of 2 buttons.
Yeah. Finally, we've got Land Zero Lakes in 2009. Said, "Awesome tabulous! The music is great. The art is cool. How the background is black and white and the characters are coloured, so the art is great. The idea is great. This can only mean one thing. This video is awesome, tabulous!" Brackets. "That just happens to be my new favorite word." Close brackets.
It's not a word. You made it up.
Well, it's fabulous plus fantastic plus awesome.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe it's awesome-atabulous.
We invented the word selfie, and that's in the dictionary now, so...
Yes, you and I personally wrote to Ian Dictionary saying, "Hello, we've come up with a word for taking a picture of yourself."
Yeah, that was us, so,
You're welcome.
You're welcome for that, yeah.
Yeah, like, this was just nice. It was just really pleasant, and I can't complain about any of it. I want that album.
Well, would you like to learn about the guy who made the animation and the people involved in the creation of the music?
Are you telling me it's time for some
Flash?
Yes,
it is time for that. So, Field Guide to Snapping is made by Nikhil Adnani, who's also known on Newgrounds as Groove Chamber.
Groove Chamber?
Yeah.
Again, that's an excellent name.
It is. I joined Newgrounds in 2001, and on the same day that he joined Newgrounds, made his only two ever posts that appear on his page, which is this and something that was uploaded after.
Okay, so I'm just going to interrupt you there, and I'm going to predict what it might be.
Okay.
I have a feeling that this is an up-and-coming animation studio using Newgrounds just to dump their content as a way of getting it out there.
You're kind of right, yes.
Okay.
So, as it's mentioned at the very end, on the end slate of this animation, if you go to groovechamber.com, you can find his previous 9 animations.
Ooh.
And the 2 that he put on Newgrounds.
Okay.
There is also on the website a list of places he screened the films, including the Flash Film Festival here in London in 2000.
Whoa.
He also screened his films in, brace yourself for this, Australia, Baltimore, Seattle, Ottawa, Brooklyn, Poland, South Korea, Germany, Boston, and Atlanta.
Bloody, so this guy was like on the indie film circuit?
Yes.
That's impressive. That's a bit like Sam Baxter, who did This Year's.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. So, Field Guide to Snapping is actually, and you probably guessed it, is a music video for the band Slang.
Yeah. Like an official licensed video.
And you can find information on the band at TerminusRecords.com.
Terminus Records.
Which does still exist. Still okay. There. So, here's an excerpt from the biography.
Of I'd
just
the
like
band.
To read a little bit of the biography, if you'd let me.
Okay.
For Slang. So it says, Slang is the brainchild of Dave Schools and Lang Martin III.
Right.
The Bellwether Project, which is the album this one's from, is a collection of 10 unique tracks, and it stems from a decade-long friendship and the gradual intertwining of musical sensibilities. It is a record of complementary forces fusing Schools' roots in improvisational rock, that's hard to say, with Martin's work in musical montage, whatever that is. Dave Schools is a bass player for Athens, Georgia rock band Widespread Panic.
Fucking hell! Oh!
And for the last 15 years, Widespread Panic has soared relentlessly, built a catalogue of 9 records, and developed an extensive fan base around the world. During this time, Schools and Panic have had the opportunity to play with a myriad of musicians, including Taj Mahal, Branford Marsalis, Jorma Kaukonen, Robbie Krieger, RNBQ, Vic Chestnut, The Dirty Dozen Brass Band, Phil Lesh, Bob Weir, and others. Okay, not done.
Okay.
Lang Martin III, who's also a bass player, he was born in Greenwich, Connecticut, and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. His father is a renowned Nashville songwriter who's penned songs for artists such as Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Reba McEntire, and Trisha Yearwood, among others.
So again, we've stumbled across like this amazing musical legacy.
Yep.
Like with Raffi.
Yep. Like with Raffi.
That's really cool.
I know.
Ah, and this, I mean, I definitely want to listen to this track again more than I wanted to listen to Banana Phone again.
Banana Phone is...
I already know all the worst of Banana Phone is the thing.
I've heard it enough times.
Yeah. But no, that was neat.
I know.
And this was neat.
I had a great time reading all of that, all of those names and being like, oh my god.
Fucking Widespread Panic? Oh. Oh, that's going to really please about 2% of our listeners.
Yes.
Oh, that is neato. Wow. So, just have time for one listener email.
Yeah,
I think
we can squeeze it in. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get to this email. It's from our frenemy, Great Joe, frenemy of the podcast.
Ah, yes.
And it's a response to our previous prompt about who would win in a fight between stuff. You know, mashups.
Okay.
However, I am... So I'm going to read this email in full, because I understand not very little about the characters that he's talking about.
Okay.
He says it's the ultimate matchup, and he says, "For ages, the people have been asking, who would win in a fight? Aero the Acrobat or Socket? I've never played Aero the Acrobat. I've never heard of Socket."
No. Me either?
As you might know, Aero can run fast, he can dive, and, well, Socket can also run fast. He can do a sweet kick that summons a lightning bolt behind it, and stick his tail into electrical sockets to survive, I guess. Clearly, they're both very good role models for children, who might otherwise not be convinced to do dives from great heights or stick their extremities in electrical sockets. Personally, I think Socket's electric kick might give him the zoning advantage, to coin a term from the fighting game community, although in a more naturalistic setting, Aero the Acrobat might just tire Socket out while swooping right by him. What do you think?
I don't fucking know.
I don't know. So,
I think I've never played either of those games.
So let's piece together, from the evidence we've given, what Aero the Acrobat and Socket are.
Okay, well, Aero the Acrobat is probably a bat.
A bat? Yes. I'm guessing a generic 90s platformer character who's a bat.
Okay, Socket can run fast and do a sweet kick, something about lightning.
And something about lightning. And sticks a tail into electrical socket. So I'm guessing maybe Socket is some kind of, like, all-purpose, like, cute mammal, like Marsupilami or Bonkers.
Is it an animal, or is it, like, a robot?
Or maybe it's a robot with a tail. Although, if it's the 90s, then it's going to be, like, an animal mascot.
I'm going to look this up.
What? Okay.
I have to see.
You know what? Yeah, okay. So, Socket. And oh my goodness, I was wrong. Socket is a duck?
Are you sure it's a duck? Yes, it is a duck.
Socket is a duck with a tail, which is just a power cable.
Okay.
And it's a Genesis game.
It is a Genesis game. Or a Sega Mega Drive, if you're in Europe.
Yes. It looks like an incredibly generic Mega Drive game. Look at that.
Ah, I see what Great Joe's done. He sent us two really obscure Mega Drive mascot platformer games.
Ah.
In an attempt to bamboozle us.
Oh, I see. Well, according to the quick Googling I've done, it looked like Aero the Acrobat got a sequel, and so he must have won.
He doesn't seem to have anticipated our ability to use Google.
Oh, no. There's a picture here of Aero the Acrobat feeding, like, metal balls to a really miserable clown.
It looks a bit like that really old "I'm firing my laser" meme.
Oh my gosh, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think of the two,
I like Aero the Acrobat more, so I'm going to say he wins.
Yeah, Aero the Acrobat seems to have a bit more personality.
Yeah.
And also seems to be, like, especially with the angry eyes, Aero the Acrobat seems to, like, wish harm on people. And I think that aggressive edge would give him the upper hand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, like, honestly, this is all moot, because both of them would be laid waste by Punky Skunk.
True. Very, very true. Yep.
Punky Skunk, she's the hero we deserve.
Yes, she is.
All right, thank you for that. And if you have any emails yourselves, any comments about the stuff we've talked about, any suggestions for stuff we should cover in future, we've got a few more emails, but they're all cool suggestions for stuff to look at in future, including some old-timey Japanese flashes, which we should get to at some point.
Yeah.
Sent in by a friend of the show, Xander. But yeah, if you, dear listener, would like to write emails in with anything from suggestions or comments or pasta recipes or anything along those lines, then you can do so at flashinthepancast@gmail.com. And of course, as always, you can find all of our stuff on our website at flashinthepancast.com. And you can find us on Twitter at FlashITPancast, which is at FlashItPancast. And Alex, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter.com at Dex01.
Dex01.
I'm also on YouTube. I am about to today start my new Let's Play So tune into youtube.com/VNDLP to hear the two of us talking over a Marvel-related property.
We are going to be talking over a Marvel-related property, and it will be... it's fucking
it
silly.
It will be good.
It's very silly.
And also, I did compose the theme for the show with help from Tom. He wrote the words. Because I feel bad to say every time saying I composed it, knowing that you... half the work.
No, I just sang. You did all the instrument bits.
That's true. But yeah. You did the singing, which is some of the best part of the song, I think.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Yes, but I did compose. I did all the guitar bits and all the producing and the little technical bits. And you can find all of my personal music stuff, which, again, I'm working on new music.
Yeah.
I'm working on new music. I might have a new album out before the end of the year. We'll see.
Nice.
At alexvalentine.bandcamp.com.
Nice. And as always, you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's at Gertrude P-R-K-N-S. I've already given out the show's Twitter name because we've done everything out of order this episode.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Anyway, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And until next time, thank you, I guess.
Blam this piece of crap.
Back in the past!